Hello and welcome to episode 30. We've made it 30 episodes of It's Funny Now, stories you're glad didn't happen to you. My name is Frank Trainor. I'm the creator and producer of the show where people tell stories that maybe were embarrassing, cringy, terrifying, shameful, disgusting, even sad sometimes when they happened. But with the help of time, we can say it's funny now. Our show is recorded live at The Crow in Santa Monica, California. That's the new comedy club for Elevated Comedy in Los Angeles. It happens every second Tuesday of the month, and on this podcast, you will hear the best stories to come out of that stage. On today's episode, we continue with our February anti-Valentine's stories with Lisa Orking and her story, Missing Peace.
He finally stops 2 hours later. 2 fucking hours later. 2 hours. You know, and he gives me Gatorade. And oranges, like we just played soccer or something.
And Lisa is a storyteller, comedian, actor, and constant snacker, and has performed and eaten at almost every club, theater, and corner cafe in Los Angeles. Please check her podcast, Lisa Upside Down, and Project Woo. And now, without further ado, here's Lisa with her story.
Hello. So he was the best boyfriend I ever had. He was so kind and sweet. He would pick little bouquets of flowers from his garden and give it to me. And then he would make me tea and toast every morning. He was kind, he was funny, he was smart. I just thought, this is my missing piece. This is the guy. I loved him so, so much. So for 2 years, he did that. And then one day, over pancakes, he says to me, because he lives 300 miles away, he says, Lisa, I think you should go back to your life and go back to your work. And I was like, oh, no, I'm good. And he was like, no, I don't think so. And so he broke up with me, and I did one of those awful cries where snot comes out, and I bawled, and it didn't move him at all. So then I just, to deal with the pain, you know, I found some other relationships. I found this guy called the Jackhammer. Basically, I could, like, we'd be having sex. I could slip out from under him. I could go make myself tea and coffee, bacon, eggs, watch Rachel Maddow, and slip back in, and he'd still be making holes in the pavement. And then there was this other guy who every time we had sex, he would apologize for 20 minutes. And also when he blew his nose. And I just thought, oh my God, this is my fate. This, you know that feeling, right? This is it. This is my fate. It's going to be a string of these kind of guys. And then my missing piece texted me thinking of you, and I thought, oh my God, this is the moment. This is my moment. I need to jump on it, take this opportunity. And I called him right away, and I said, hey, why don't I come up there? And he hesitated, so I said, you know what? Let's have a sex weekend. What do you think? You know, no drama, no commitment, just sex, right? No tears, I promise. And he was like, yeah, okay. Yeah, that sounds great. So I drove 300 miles up to Monterey, because that's where the fucker lived. And so I drove up there. I didn't write that. I don't know where that came from. So I drove up there, and I walked up, and I saw him, and he hugged me. Like, he hugged me so sweet and kind and lovely. And then he gave me a kiss like nothing had ever happened. Like we had been together the whole time. And I was just so amazed. And then he said to me, Lisa, I have a surprise for you. Can you close your eyes and put your hands out? And I thought, oh my God, he is gonna propose. He is gonna propose right now. And you know what's weird is I didn't even think I wanted to get married again. I thought, do I want to do this? This is my choice. Do I want to? I could live here. I could live here and teach improv at the local college. I could do this. And so So he was like, can I blindfold you? Because it'll make it, I just want it to be a big surprise. I'm like, okay. So he blindfolds me and he says, stick out your hands. And I am gleeful. And I stick out my hands and he puts on my hands, like my wrists, what felt like furry bracelets. And then he let me peek and I peeked and it was pink furry handcuffs. And I thought, oh, that's okay. I love him. If this is what he wants, I can do this. I can be this for him. You know, I am that kind of person. Like, whatever your fantasy is, I am it. And then he said something about controlling me and red light, green light. And I was like, all right, I'm good. And then we start and everything is like weird. It's fucking weird. And like 20 minutes in, I was like, who is this guy? Who the fuck is he? I thought, was he an illusion? What happened to my tea and toast? Like, I just couldn't believe it. And then I thought, you know, was he like, maybe he was taken by aliens or something. Maybe aliens have taken him. And I thought if I lifted the blindfold, I'd be having sex with Chewbacca or something. And so he finally stops 2 hours later. 2 fucking hours later. 2 hours, you know, and he gives me Gatorade and oranges, like we just played soccer or something. And then he says to me, he says, are you ready for another round? And I looked at him standing there in the window or the moonlight with like this just ridiculous boner still. And I looked at him and I said, yes. I don't know why I said yes. And the whole time he kept eating Altoids, like that was all gonna make it hotter or something, sexier, just burnier or something. And then he popped an Altoid and he went down on me. And suddenly my vagina spoke for me. My curiously minty vagina said, red light, red fucking light, red light. Here's the thing about this guy is that I just thought if I do this piece, I'm going to have to tell the truth about him. Like, I'm going to have to like actually say to my friends and family something that I just don't want to tell them. And it's not about the handcuffs and the minty vagina. It's that he was a reborn Christian. And I went with him to his mega church and sang about Jesus every Sunday. And I like heard that. You goes, oh. And I know I'm wearing a star, Jewish star. So I was like, and I liked it. The weird thing was I liked it. I liked it not because I wanted to believe in Jesus. It was just that it was so different than my life. It was so far away from who I was that I just wanted to be somewhere else. A different perspective, you know? And then I just thought I think I need this. I didn't need Jesus, but obviously I didn't really need it. But then the very next morning after he had tied me up and done all that stuff to me, we went to his mega church and he stood there with his hands clasped at his heart, swaying to the Jesus music, singing. And I just kept getting flashbacks of him like writhing all over my body, my naked body and the Altoids. And I just thought, who is he? Which one of these people is he? How did I go down this road again? I thought I had asked him all the questions, you know, do you like your mom? You know, have you ever stabbed anyone? Have you ever been stabbed? Do you apologize after sex? Do you have children? Like, I asked him all the questions, you know, and I was like, how did I get here? How did I get to this place again? You know, he was not the guy I thought he was. You know, and I remember that night, I just could barely sleep all night. And in the morning, I rolled over and I just thought, I'm just going to hug him and see what I feel. And my hand rested on his heart. And I could feel his heart beating like in the palm of my hand. And I thought, I feel like I could just grab it. I could just grab his heart. That's what I was going to do. I was going to grab his heart, and then I was going to hold it over my head, and I was going to run to the beach with this bloody heart beating still, and maybe a bunch of other women would join me. Hundreds, maybe thousands of women who all had broken hearts are going to join me. We're all going to run to the beach with these hearts, and then we're going to hurl them into the ocean, and the ocean is going to become this red sea of Chianti wine or something. And then as the hearts went down, maybe this like little like Pez looking thing would come up from the hearts, and it would like lift up into the sky, and the Pez would rain down on us, and we'd all open our mouth and the Pez would slide down into the hole in our hearts. But no, there he was, slightly snoring, little hairs on his shoulders, his taxes laid out on the table, the stupid little handcuffs hanging over the chair. And I just thought, he's missing a piece. He's missing a big piece. And I thought, you know what? We're all missing a piece, right? That's just who we are. Every one of us is missing a piece. And not because we're not whole, because we're human. I mean, for God's sakes, even Chewbacca is missing a piece. So thank you. I'm Lisa.
That's it. That's our episode. And what an episode. Aren't we all missing a piece? Lisa is absolutely right about this. During our live show when this was recorded, our host, Chris de la Cruz, asked the audience after the show who they thought of when they heard about this story. Because we all think of someone when we hear something like this. We all have somebody in our minds. Who is it for you? You know you're thinking of someone right now who is like, yep, that's the person that this story reminds me of right now. And they're missing a piece. And they like a lot of weird things. As always, you can watch the video of this story on our YouTube channel, and you can find information about future shows and how to pitch your own story on our website. It's funnynowstorytelling.com, and you can find a new episode every Monday on YouTube and all podcast streaming platforms. On the next episode, we have the last of our anti-Valentine's Day stories, even though it's March, because we just had so many good stories this year for that theme that we're going to go over 1 week. We're going to have Laura House with her story, The Date.
So I talked to him to make plans for this date, and he blurts out so awkwardly, he goes, I don't make plans! You make plans! I can follow through with the plans, but I'm not going to make him plans. You make the plans! You make whatever you want to do! You make the plans! I'll be there! Wow. So that wasn't what I wanted to hear, but my ex was great at making plans to see other women while we were together. So maybe it's time for a non-planner, you know?
Thanks for listening, and remember, tragedy plus time, it's funny now. See you next time.